Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have contacted my buddy Pat McShay to come on, and we want to talk about Trump and his Zio War puppet masters. Pat, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Hey, Jerry. It's great to be here.
Now, before we dive into this, Joe Kent was on the National Counterterrorism Center. He was a director, part of the Department of National Intelligence under Tulsi Gabbard. And I printed out his resignation letter, and it speaks volumes. I want to start the program with this, and then Pat and I are going to just cover the gamut. He wrote, quote, "After much reflection, I have decided to resign from my position as director of the National Counterterrorism Center effective today. I cannot, in good conscience, support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. Early in this administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media deployed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your America First platform and sowed pro-war sentiments to encourage a war with Iran. As a veteran who deployed to combat 11 times, and as a Gold Star husband who lost my beloved wife Shannon in a war manufactured by Israel, I cannot support sending the next generation off to fight and die in a war that serves no benefit. The time for bold action is now. You can reverse course and chart a new path for our nation, or you can allow us to slip further toward decline and chaos. You hold the cards." Close quote. That's a quote from Joseph Kent. That's his resignation letter, Pat, and it speaks volumes for why we are doing what we're doing in the Middle East, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. If people don't know who Joe Kent is, before he worked for Tulsi Gabbard, he was a officer in the military, and like his wife, he was in intelligence and linguistics, and it got blown up. It's really sad. But Joe Kent worked for Tulsi Gabbard, and Tulsi Gabbard gave her assessment about a year ago to Trump, and her conclusion was they had no nuclear weapons program. They had a nuclear program like a lot of countries do. They underwent routine inspections by the Atomic Energy Commission, which, by the way, Israel refuses all inspections of their nuclear facility, and they're known to possess up to 400 nuclear weapons. You know, they knew that Iran did not have nuclear weapons, and Ali Khamenei was not working on a nuclear weapon. I don't think anyone thought that they were. And Trump should know that using Israeli intelligence about nuclear weapons is just absurd. You know, a British diplomat who was in meetings with the Iranian officials working on a peace deal right before Trump's sneak attack, was in these meetings with Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, who's a dual citizen with Israel, and another Jewish billionaire, Steve Witkoff, were representing the United States in these meetings. And the British diplomat said that Kushner and Witkoff acted more as agents of Israel rather than U.S. diplomats negotiating a peace deal, which, you know, this is likely why Britain is taking a hands-off approach and distance themselves from this war, just like most of our allies.
Yeah, NATO is not rallying behind this conflict, war, whatever you want to call it, against Iran. You know,
no.
Chuck Baldwin talked about Iran's nuclear capability, and he said they may have enough material for a few bombs, but it goes completely against the Quran, and Iran does not want anything to do with nuclear weapons. But kind of like Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction, the Israeli intelligence, or the propagandists, however you want to call them, convinced W the Dumber, as you call him, and they've likewise coerced Trump and pulled the strings, and now we are involved in another war that doesn't benefit America one iota.
Well, one thing people need to understand is that Bibi Netanyahu is a member of the Chabad Lubavitch sect of Judaism in Israel, as was the Rebbe, Rabbi Schneerson, who died back in the early 90s. And before the Rebbe died, Bibi Netanyahu said, "We control the U.S. Senate, the U.S. Congress, and we have a strong Jewish lobby. America will not force Israel to do anything." And he also promised the Rebbe that he would start a nuclear holocaust to summon the Messiah. So they're not even hiding it. The problem is these kind of quotes are never played in the mainstream media. It's just like Israeli atrocities. People don't understand that rape culture is endemic in Israeli life. They routinely rape their enemies. The Palestinian prisoners are raped and sodomized routinely. They also order their officers to shoot Palestinian children in the head. So they hide these atrocities from the American public. If the American people knew what was really going on over there, no one would support them.
Now, there was a video that was released on, I think it was X, showing two IDF soldiers violently raping a prisoner. They were charged with the crime, and then they were set free. No charges.
There were five of them that did.
It was brutal. One of the females had to have her entire female organs removed. It was so damaged. And another had tears that had to be surgically repaired. It was violent.
Almost died. I mean, they almost killed
him. Yeah, when you consider that the Talmud says that the goy are animals and beasts of the field, and the hair on one Jew is worth millions of goy, you understand the mindset that they are above everybody and everything, and they can do whatever they please without repercussion.
Not only will they not face charges and have already been released, they are appearing on Israeli television as heroes. One of the reasons they were released was the Israeli public was outraged and took to the street to protest the fact that they'd even been arrested. You know, in another case that I just wrote about, a doctor who was kidnapped right out of the hospital he was working at in Gaza, he was reportedly the best qualified and most popular surgeon in Gaza. He was arrested during a raid on his hospital while he was saving lives, and he was taken to the notorious Timon State Gulag, where this married father of two was beaten, sodomized, and tortured to death for sport. He had committed no crime at all. And this is a man who trained at King's College in England. He didn't have to be working in Gaza. He was working in Gaza to help these people. And now Israel has even banned all doctors from the Doctors Without Borders organization. It's just tragic.
Very. The mindless brutality that is being inflicted upon the Palestinians and now the Iranians. I mean, they bombed a school or two in Iran?
Yes, and they killed 185 young girls aged 7 to 12 and all their teachers. And Scott Ritter said that they knew that that was a school. Not only that, they bombed several hospitals that first day. The first day, remember, this was a sneak attack. They had just adjourned the peace meetings a couple days prior to this and were scheduled to get back together the following Monday. That weekend, Trump attacked them in a sneak attack and killed over 750 people, wounding thousands of people during the peace negotiation. I mean, this stuff is just unbelievable.
And you won't hear, because on controlled media, all we heard was they are alleging that we bombed a school. There's furthest thing from the truth, blah, blah, blah.
Worse than that, Trump, when asked about it, 2 or 3 days later, was still saying that it was not a U.S. bomb, which they know that it was a U.S. cruise missile, Tomahawk. But then he said that, no, that was an Iranian Tomahawk, that they must have gotten somewhere else because Tomahawks are out there for sale. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. We are right now a captured nation. Well, the Israelis think they're above the law because no country will hold them accountable, and the UN just simply has no teeth.
Yeah, the UN has been a worthless, neutered organization since its inception. Not everybody buys into it, Pat.
Well, it's really not. It's not their fault because we come in and strike down at everything they try to do. It's time that we had a real coalition for peace that included China, Russia, the EU, and the U.S., and they need to force Israel to disarm because Israel is causing all of these wars. They're all because of Israel. They are the main cause of the Middle East blowing up. So they've got to do something, but then you got to worry about the Samson option. Oh, yeah. I was just listening to Ken O'Keefe, if you're familiar with Ken O'Keefe, a former Marine that's very outspoken about Israel. And he said, hey, you know, the Samson option is where if Israel ever feels that their existence is in jeopardy, they will launch nuclear attacks against everybody. You got to worry about that.
They believe that by launching these nuclear attacks, it's going to bring back their Messiah. You told me off the air that Rapture Pete Hegseth is telling the troops a very bizarre thing, isn't he?
Yeah, he is telling people that Trump is the light of the Middle East and will set us on a course to Armageddon that will bring Jesus back. He's telling American commanders this, which should be a violation of his oath to the army. But, you know, the Jewish Finance Schofield Bible in 1909 used Schofield's notes and ideas printed on the same page of sacred scripture, which talked about the return of modern Jews to the land of Israel, the rise of a world dictator, dispensationalism, the destruction of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And so, you know, you've got people like Pete Hegseth that grew up going to a church that told him that, you know, these things had to come about before Jesus returned. And so he believes now that this war with Israel is going to bring back Jesus, and he thinks that he's doing the right thing. It's really hard to believe.
But when Trump campaigned, he campaigned on ending wars. He wasn't going to start any. And the American people took him at his word, but lo and behold, according to Henry Macko, Trump is a Chabad Lubavitch. I know Kushner is a Lubavitch, a Chabad Lubavitch, just like Bibi. And I think you've stated that Vladimir Putin is also a member of this sect.
Yeah, Henry Macko said that Trump has given, it's on record, that he's given tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to Chabad Lubavitch. And of course, Jared Kushner is a member of Chabad. And his family has given hundreds of thousands to the organization. They're also, the Kushner family has given millions of dollars to the settlement programs. So, yeah, then Miles Mathis said that years ago that Vladimir Putin is Jewish, and Mako said that he is also a member of Chabad Lubavitch. So it looks like the Israelis are getting the Zionist Christians in America and Europe that grew up learning about the rapture, that again was a John Nelson Darby fantasy more than anything. It's not biblical. Dispensationalism is not biblical. The right of modern Jews to return and take over the land is not biblical. These are all things that came about in the last 120 years. But the Jews definitely believe that they are summoning Moshiach with a nuclear catastrophe, and it doesn't believe whether you and I believe it or whether Catholics believe in, you know, the return of Jesus through all these various things like the rapture and Armageddon. The Jews believe it, and the Zionist Christians believe it. And there are a lot of them, like Ted Cruz, who are attacking people with any sense, like Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Megyn Kelly, Joe Kent, Tulsi Gabbard. I thought Tulsi Gabbard would have resigned by now.
Yeah, I'm shocked. You know, while we're talking about this and while you're explaining, Pat, I can only think of the Trojan horse. The correlation between what happened back in that history and what is happening now in America. The Trojan horse in America is Scofield Christian Zionism and what is happening today. It has infiltrated our country. It has taken over seats of power. And now we are, as the pawns, we are subjects to this pro-Zionist Washington, D.C. movement. I mean, AIPAC doesn't even have to register as a foreign agent. Everybody else does, but not AIPAC. You know, I read today that right. Ted Cruz is one of the highest recipients of AIPAC funds, $1.8 million since 1990, I think.
So, well, yeah, Lindsey Graham's right up there, too.
They're not working for us. They're working for Israel. And you mentioned Tucker Carlson. He interviewed Mike Huckabee a while back. And Huckabee angered a lot of people who are not Christian Zionists by saying if they want it, it's theirs. God gave it to them. They should just go ahead and take it.
Well, in 1948, the new Scofield Reference Bible came out, and it had even more in there about how Jews must be protected in Israel, you know, the Middle East, that Jews have to be protected. This came out right in the same year that Israel was given statehood as a country, although they never have said what their borders are, but Mike Huckabee grew up in one of these churches because they The Scofield Bible influenced theological views of generations of evangelical pastors, preachers, televangelists. Huckabee grew up in the 60s and 70s when millions of evangelical Christians had been molded by a theological worldview that the modern state of Israel is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And opposing Israel's questionable territorial claims is the equivalent of opposing God's prophecies. And which, again, none of that's biblical. That is all John Nelson Darby through Scofield, through John Hagee, through Jack Van Impe, and, you know, Lester Sumrall, and, you know, pick your preacher. So all these people, the Catholics never went along with it because the Catholics have their own Bible, and the Catholics, frankly, they told, you know, Catholics not to read this other stuff. And so Catholics do not go along with and have never gone along with dispensationalism, never heard of it. Catholics don't preach the rapture. Now, they don't preach end times. And frankly, the Bible said, Jesus said, don't be concerned with when I'm coming back. That's not for you to know, right? So why is everyone trying to pick a date? It's always confused me.
You know, when people predict a date that Jesus will return, you can immediately see right through the veil that they are an antichrist and that they are pulling numbers out of their backside. And there is no, Jesus said, we will know the season and there will be signs, but we right. do not know exactly when he will return. We just know he's coming back. And when he comes, we will have new Israel, new Jerusalem, and we won't have to right. deal with the riffraff that are here now.
Right.
Kerry Prejean Bowler was on Trump's religious committee. She was booted off of that committee because she was anti-Semitic?
Yeah, I saw the meeting that they had when, you know, she spoke after one of the Jewish rabbis, and she said, so are you saying that if Catholics don't go along with this Zionist teaching that, you know, there's something wrong with us, we're anti-Semitic? And the rabbi said, yeah, you are. And so that created this whole controversy, and that's when Trump signaled that he was going to get Boehner off of the, he didn't tell her himself. He was told by one of his White House staff. But yeah, she's gone now. And one of the Muslims that was on the committee resigned in protest. But what people need to understand is most Christians today believe that Jews practice the same Mosaic laws that Jews lived by in the ancient past. But the Jewish Torah today includes newer rabbinical texts, including the evil teachings of the Babylonian Talmud. If you're not familiar with that, get familiar with that. That includes the Zohar, which is Jewish Luciferianism, and the Kabbalah, which is a satanic book. So what you won't see on Fox News, a shocking new proposal in Israel could make it illegal to promote Christianity in any form in the state of Israel. Have you heard about that?
I know there were two members of the Knesset that tried to make it a criminal offense, punishable by imprisonment, like a felony, if you proselytized any Jew, and they ban the New Testament. You cannot come into Israel with a Bible that has the New Testament in it. They flatly right. refuse you to bring it in. And I want to quote what Kerry Prejean Bowler had to say when she was removed from that committee. She said, quote, they are brainwashing Christians to worship Israel, and I would rather die than worship Israel, close quote. That's pretty yeah. powerful of a statement.
Yes. And another thing that they did, they want to pass in Israel, they want to make it a 7-year prison sentence for any Christian caught praying at the Wailing Wall, something Christians have done forever. Yeah. They don't want Christians praying at the Wailing Wall. I mean, this stuff is really getting out of control.
Because the Zionists have to control. Why would they infiltrate the religion here in America if they knew they needed to control the masses? They commissioned Schofield to come up with his annotated notes. They have adopted all of this into the curricula at seminaries. Theologians pass this down. It has propagated throughout the entire so-called Christian church. And then they came out with the term Judeo-Christianity to make it sound like we worship the same God, that we worship the same way, that everybody is equal in God's eyes. But that is an oxymoron. And, you know, when Tex started exposing this, he was labeled an anti-Semite. He was blacklisted from being able to go to Canada because of their archaic hate laws. And we lost supporters of the ministry because they had bought into the lie that the Jews are God's chosen people. When in fact, if you read Galatians, it tells you that if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It doesn't care about a bloodline. It cares about being a blood-bought, born-again Christian. And it was a Jew that wrote Galatians. That's what a lot of people just can't wrap their head around. Paul,
right,
was a prosecutor of followers of Christ. And he was
right.
Mean and evil. When he was born again and he saw Christ and he got to know Christ, he became Christ's biggest supporter. And Saul of Tarsus was there for the stoning of the first martyr, Stephen. So he's been there, done that. And then he wrote Galatians and he explains that if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. And it took the fact that a Jew wrote this, Goyim, the cattle, can come to know Jesus and be part of the promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis that Ted Cruz doesn't know. Well, it's in the Bible. It's in there. You can Google it. You know,
yeah.
But,
you know, to put a bow on that, a rabbi named Moshe Magai of the National Jewish Information Service said in 1961, there is no such thing as Judeo-Christian religion. We consider the religions so different that one excludes the other.
That's pretty succinct.
So here's why this tells people that just love Israel. March 15, 1923, the Jewish World Conference asserted, fundamentally, Judaism is anti-Christian. Why should we believe in God? We hate Christianity and Christians. Even the best of Christians must be regarded as our worst enemy. They preach love of one's neighbor and pity, which is contrary to our principles. Christian love is a hindrance to the revolution. Down with love, down with love of one's neighbors. What we want is hatred. That's a Jewish rabbi.
Wow. Well, Pat, we have flown through 30 minutes, brother. We have to take a break. My guest today is Pat McShay. We're discussing Trump and his Zio War puppet masters. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. We have an outstanding book written by Shlomo Sand. It's entitled The Invention of the Jewish People. Today's Jews did not descend from the ancient Israelites. DNA science proves that the Jews in Israel and around the world are predominantly of Khazar stock. They are mainly a Turkish-Mongol blood mixture, says Dr. Shlomo Sand, a Jew and distinguished history professor from Tel Aviv University in Israel. Sand's heavily documented book is turning the Jewish world upside down. One amazing fact is that the so-called Jews who went to Israel from Europe in 1948 set up this new nation. Well, they have no history as a people of Israel. Instead, their ancestors were converts to Judaism. So those today who say they are Jews are not of Abraham. However, the Palestinians, many of them Muslims, are of Abraham. Think about that. Who do you think should possess this land? There are shocking new discoveries in this book that every Christian must know. The New York Times reviewed this book and said, extravagantly denounced and praised. It is an international bestseller. You need a copy. If you don't have one, you need to get yours today. It is a 344-page book that is worth every penny of the $20 we're asking. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $26. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. If you care to order online, you can go to our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad right there on the main page for the invention of the Jewish people. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, select a shipping method, and it's flat rate. So click the little black drop down arrow, find the subtotal, it $6, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. $26 postpaid for this outstanding book written by a distinguished professor from Tel Aviv University, The Invention of the Jewish People. Get your copy today. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pat McShay. Pat, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jerry. It's great to be back.
Now, we are talking about Trump and his Zio War puppet masters today, and We're going to conclude the topic next weekend, but there are a number of polls out there, Pat, that are not very positive about this conflict, are they?
Yeah, there were a couple of polls that showed like 25-27% were, you know, backing the war. One of the guys that a podcaster, Zach Costello, that I follow, he had a poll on Twitter with 6,000 respondents, and 90% were not for a war with Iran. So, you know, what that means, though, is be on the lookout for a false flag attack by either a neocon faction or an Israeli faction, because that's what they do when they want to push a war that is unpopular. All one need do, though, is go back to Pearl Harbor. 90% of Americans were against entering World War II until the attack on Pearl Harbor that we found out later. FDR was well aware of the attack and allowed it to happen because he had been conspiring with the war criminal Churchill to get us involved in that war. So I would be worried that Israel would do a false flag either on America or maybe somewhere in Europe to get the Europeans more involved.
You know,
so
I saw this in the news, and I reported it on My Secrets a couple weeks ago, Pat. Were you aware that Larry Silverstein, the former owner of the Twin Towers in New York City, just bought a tower, and I think it's in San Francisco?
Yeah, I'm real familiar with Larry Silverstein, who I wrote about in my recent article, 9/11, All Roads Lead to Israel. There's no question in my mind Israel was behind the attacks on the Twin Towers. So, you know, anything Larry Silverstein's up to, I think people should look at.
Right. I mean, I saw this, and I don't know if the author of the article was tongue-in-cheek or not, but he did say at the conclusion, if I lived in California, I would be wary about something happening to that tower that Silverstein just purchased, because you never know. And then we have the onset of the conflict in Iran, where we're bombing and blowing stuff up. And then Israel can't help themselves. They're bombing Syria and they're bombing all the other countries around them just because they've got a hunger for bloodlust.
Oh my God. They're bombing refugee camps in Lebanon. They are bombing tent cities in Gaza and Lebanon, for crying out loud.
And they keep claiming Hezbollah. We got to eliminate Hezbollah.
Well, do you know why Hezbollah was formed to begin with?
Wasn't it an Israeli operation?
Back in the 80s, Israel wanted to take over southern Lebanon because they have always wanted to have the Litani River. And the Litani River is precious to them because Israel has no water. And so they have lusted after southern Lebanon and the Litani River for decades, and they still want southern Lebanon. It's part of the Greater Israel Project. So is part of Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Iran, Egypt. So Israel's never going to stop stealing land. People really need to start waking up.
So the poll is damning for this war, but, you know, the Zionists have been, they've got a playbook, Pat, and they have played this out of this playbook since the early 1900s. Back then, all there was radio and print media, and print media dominated. So they bought up all the newspapers, the Times, the Post, the Herald, the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times. They bought up publishing houses so that they could control the narrative. And now, you know, there was a big stink about TikTok being Chinese owned, and it was part of this disinformation campaign China was trying to infiltrate into America, blah, blah, blah. So
yeah,
if you want to keep it open, you have to sell TikTok to an American. But the problem is they didn't sell it to just an American, did they?
No. They sold it to Larry Ellison, who's the richest Jew in the world. He's got more money than Mark Zuckerberg. And he bought CNN, CBS, TikTok, HBO. He's also the guy that vetted Marco Rubio for Bibi Netanyahu to take the Secretary of State's job. That should tell you who's controlling Trump's administration. You know, before the first war, 6-8 months ago, John Chirikov, a former CIA operative, he came out and said that the Israelis threatened Trump that if he did not bomb Iran, that they would send a nuclear weapon to bomb Iran. So we already know Trump's being blackmailed. We don't know how deep it goes. You know, a lot of people believe that Wilbur Ross, who was a Rothschild banker, became Trump's biggest supporter early on in his first administration, and Trump put him in as Commerce Secretary, but he was likely Trump's handler for Israel during his first administration before Jared Kushner took over, because Rex Tillerson, who was also picked for Trump's cabinet, said that Jared Kushner was running the Trump administration during his first term. Scary.
That would make perfect sense, though, being a Chabad Lubavitch to be able to control.
Yep.
Control. See, everybody thinks the president is all powerful, Pat. They think that he's got the button right there at his finger. We don't realize that it takes confirmation from two other people in the chain of command to launch a nuke. But he's the leader of the superpower, the world's only remaining superpower, blah, 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 blah. But the president only knows as much as his handlers will give him. So who's his chief of staff, and who did she used to work for?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Susie Wiles, who used to work for Bibi Netanyahu. Trump is just surrounded by Israeli agents. And I think Jared Kushner, people don't know this probably, Jared Kushner's family has known Bibi Netanyahu for decades. His father is friends with Bibi, and he's known Bibi since he was a child. So Kushner is a dual Israeli citizen, and he's likely a Mossad agent. So that's who is probably running Trump's administration right now.
Probably so, because by controlling the information that gets on the desk of the president, you can control his actions and reactions. And, you know, you mentioned that Larry Ellison bought TikTok. TikTok is very popular with the young. And wasn't a few months ago, Bibi Netanyahu came to America and offered thousands of dollars to TikTokers to post videos that were pro-Israel. So that campaign of controlling the narrative is emphasized even more. And you think about, he bought CBS. He put Barry Weiss, a Jew, in charge of the news department. So that's controlling what you see on the evening news as far as what's going on in Israel. And we're not getting the whole story of what is happening in Israel, are we?
No, absolutely not. They're not allowing any video to come out. The stuff I'm watching is showing that Israel is being mercilessly bombed right now. They've taken out the Israeli airport. They've taken out a lot of government buildings and infrastructure. They're taking out their missile systems. They're taking out radar stations. They're taking out all sorts of their communication infrastructure. They're taking out American infrastructure in the Middle East, bombing bases, threatening again the Strait of Hormuz. And this is how deluded Trump is. He keeps telling the media that we've already won the war. It's over. You know, I can end it whenever I want to. And yesterday he's asking the media, like he was confused. He said, why are the Iranians still blocking the Strait of Hormuz? We've already won. He just expects that the Iranians are going to fold up and go away. And they're not. They still have tens of thousands of drones and long-range ballistic and medium-range ballistic missiles. And they still have thousands of hypersonic missiles. Again, the hypersonic missiles and the drones cannot be picked up by the defense systems, the THAAD defense systems that Israelis use. And also these drones that are, they're making them with balsa wood and fiberglass, and they cannot be picked up by the THAAD missile systems either. The Fatah 2 long-range missiles they're using, they move around their flight path, and so there's no way that they can track a missile that moves its flight path, because those defense systems have to lock on long before they hit their target. So they're ahead of the game, and their missiles are getting through, and Israel does not want the world to know how badly they're being damaged by these Iranian missiles.
You know, we should have learned the mindset when we went into Afghanistan. I mean, we saw Russia went into Afghanistan and fought those residents there for years. CIA helped because they gave them Stinger missiles and taught them how to use them, and then they helped train the leadership of the fighters there in Afghanistan to go against Russia. Russia pulls out, and then all of a sudden America thinks, well, you know what? We're going to go in there and show Russia that we are a superpower, that we can make these people succumb, and they will become a democracy, and they will love America, and it will be great. We ended up, Biden pulled us out, left billions of dollars of army supplies, military supplies there in Afghanistan, got some U.S. people and troops killed, got Afghanis that who were helping our military, got them killed because Biden was an idiot. But we were, as a nation, a big idiot thinking that we could take over Afghanistan. That was a failed job. And now we're going to go into, I mean, we went into Iraq and we took out Saddam. We didn't leave anything good behind. They're still bombing the base there in Baghdad. They don't like America because we're a proxy for Israel. We're doing whatever Israel demands. And now we go into Iran and everybody seems to think, well, these are backwards people. They're going to quit. And Trump has gotten some terrible advice if he thinks that they are going to quit. History teaches us that those peoples have been at war for generations.
Yeah, that's like I said. Israel is the greatest threat to peace in the Middle East. Not Iraq, not Iran, not Turkey, not Syria, not Egypt, but Israel. And you know, until we get politicians who are not controlled by AIPAC, who aren't controlled and blackmailed by Jeffrey Epstein, we're always going to be beholden to Israel, and we're always going to be threatened by them as long as they possess nuclear weapons. So, again, we have to come together. World leaders have got to come together and disarm Israel. Whether that's possible without them striking out, I don't know if it is or not, because Bibi Netanyahu is not the only nut job in Israel. Most of the people there are every bit as violent and every bit as hateful towards non-Jews as Bibi. Have you seen these reports that Netanyahu is dead? And yeah. Watch these videos. Have you seen the videos they're putting out squash the rumors?
I saw a picture, but I saw Candace Owen talked about it. She said, I don't know if he's dead or not, but the videos that are out there look AI generated.
Oh, they do. The first one, he's got five or six fingers on both hands.
Oh, my.
And then the second one they put out, oh, my goodness. I saw a video by a guy that does a lot of AI, and he said this has so many problems. He said there's no doubt it was is AI, and he points out several points and says there's no way that this is real. And he said one thing, he said this cafe has not been open since the war began. So he said there's no way DB filmed it at the cafe because the guy was familiar with it. So it's all AI generated. And I think they've already admitted that DB's house was destroyed and one of his bunkers was destroyed. And it was also reported that DB's brother was killed. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah. So, well, I think I'm still waiting to see. I think he might be dead. If he's not dead, why would you put out two fake AI videos proving he's alive? It'd be real easy to do a video of him and get it out there, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, why not just have him fly over to Mar-a-Lago and go buddy-buddy with his fellow Zionist, have some cocktails right. And a party? That would end all discussion as far as whether or not BB's alive or not, because, well, he's down in Florida.
Well, there was also a rumor that Ben Gavir was killed. Have you heard anything about that?
No, that guy is a snake and a evil, satanic-filled individual.
Yeah, he's the guy that said spitting on Christians is a rite of passage for Israelis. What a sweetheart.
Right. Goodness gracious. Now, I want to get to the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, we've got so much more that we're going to get to next week, but the Strait of Hormuz is a major choke point for shipping oil carriers through the Strait and over to China, to other places in the world. And Iran has threatened to blow up every boat that tries to come through this 100-mile wide.
No, they just released a statement I saw yesterday that they are going to allow all shipments to go through except U.S. and Israeli ships. I don't think it's 100. I think it's more like 35 miles.
Candace, in the video I watched, said 100. I haven't looked at a map to look. I know it's small. And it's close to land, and before you get to deep water, it's even worse than that for these cargo containers. But one of the narratives that was thrown out on news, and I haven't been able to verify if it's fact or fiction, but the fact that we are that we're bombing Iran and trying to control the oil reserves from Iran is because they're going to China. And we're trying to choke off China and put them in their place because America's the lone superpower. Have you heard that?
I have not, but again, I think that Iran is going to make it easy on all other countries that don't join us to get whatever they want through that strait. I was looking it up. It says 35 to 60 miles wide. So, yeah, very, very narrow. And if they do allow everyone to go through there except us, Trump's going to have a tough time putting together a coalition, which he still sounds like he wants, but I don't see it happening.
No, let's see. In the video I watched with Candace, and it's fresh in my mind, Great Britain said, "We are not joining in." Italy, one of Trump's supporters, said, "We are not going to get involved." Italy's kind of right there and in the Med and easy target for one of those rocket launchers from Iran. But Italy's not going to. She said Macron and his husband. She's still on, about Francis Macron being married to a dude who is a tranny. But Macron is controlled by the Rothschilds, who are Jewish. Macron said that he was going to send his Navy to help escort ships, but it's lip service until you put rubber on the road.
Well, Candace pointed out, too, that, you know, everyone hates Macron in France. He's very unpopular.
He's worthless. You know, but this choke point, and I was asked this, and I had repeated what I had read, unverified. I continue to say unverified. But if you think about the Strait of Hormuz and oil not getting to America or its businesses that are trying to run oil tankers through the strait, it makes perfect sense when you realize that we took over Venezuela's oil, even though it's a thicker crude. And then Trump announces he's going to build a new refinery down in South Texas. It's probably going to be for this oil from Venezuela.
Well, yeah, they said that, what, that first tanker went to Israel. So I knew that before we even went in there that they would do it for that reason.
Oh, yeah. Well, if the Strait of Hormuz is blocked, then where are we going to get our oil? It's not coming from Saudi.
Yep.
Because they're not going to let anything bound for America pass. So we have to depend on our own oil, which is what we should be doing in the first place, if we're America first. And now that we have semi-control down in Venezuela, we bring that up to the new refinery that's going to be built in South Texas.
Yeah.
And that mitigates some of what we're going to lose from the Middle East. But, you know, the man who claimed that he doesn't start wars, he only ends wars, has promised that he's going to repair the economy that Joe Biden destroyed. Well, look, I don't know if you've been to the gas station lately, Pat, but it jumped from $2.60 to $3.50 a gallon here. I see California's almost $8, $9 a gallon.
I last filled up, it was about $2.60. Yep.
Yeah. So my wife and I went to the grocery store, and when your price of fuel goes up, what do you think happens to foodstuffs?
Everything goes up, yeah.
It affects everything. So a loaf of bread, a carton of milk, a thing of eggs, anything that you're going to eat, the price of beef, everything has jumped back up. You know, he's been pushing Powell to lower the interest rate because the economy, the inflation is down, the economy is booming. You want to choke the economy and put the American people back on the breadline, so to speak. You start a conflict in Iran, you get the price of oil and gas to jump up, and voila, now we're back beholden to the Zionist bankers because we cannot have autonomy here in America. Pat, we have flown through an hour, brother. We've got a whole lot more we're going to get to next week. But I want to thank you for taking the time to come on and be a guest of Power of Prophecy. I always appreciate it, brother.
That's great to be here, Jerry.
Okay, that's going to take care of this week's program. My guest has been Pat McShay. We want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.